180.
And number 180.
Morning. So good to be back in the house of the Lord today and to worship Him together. We do so in truth and spirit and feel His presence mightily amongst us. Malachi said this, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." What a beautiful vision, is it not? Of the healing and the newness and the strength that comes from the Lord as we recognize Him as our own personal Son of Righteousness, in whom we trust and whom we place our lives and commit our all unto Him. Welcome to those on Zoom. We ask for greetings now. Anyone would have greetings? Sorry?
Elsa.
Elsa's not feeling well today. Yeah.
Chris also.
Remember to pray for her and for Chris. And she's. And Cheryl.
Brother Jim, I think we've sent his greetings also.
Oh, wonderful. Brother Jim Epiger?
He asked for prayers also too.
Prayers.
In rehab for trying to get his strength back.
Is that an inpatient kind of a rehab?
It sounded like he was out of the house.
Oh.
She had, just Brother Jim had mentioned that she probably had a minute to go or something.
Okay. Okay, requesting prayers to Hilda. Very good. John and Alexis, good, thank you. Greetings from them. And we're so thankful. We have a real miracle here amongst us, an answer to prayer in Jason and John, who are doing well, I understand. Good. That we're praying for him, yes. Good, praise God for that. And yes, may the Lord stir his heart in gratitude to him, most first and most of all, for this amazing recovery from meningitis. I'm so thankful. Okay. It's camp week. And keep everyone in prayer that's today traveling as we speak. Many, many, many upon the roads. Keep them in prayer and for the entire camp week. And we can participate in that. And actually, not just the evening worship services, but I noticed that in the schedule of live stream services, there are other throughout the week. So I will have detailed information on that in tomorrow's email. But if you want to go to easterncamp.org /media hub, or just go to easterncamp.org, you'll find it. There will be a whole listing of the live stream services. This evening, the live stream begins at 7 o'clock. Now, another way to access this information, if you have apps on your phone or computer, you can go to the App Store and put in, check me on this if you would, Brother Mike, Eastern Camp Mobile Booklet. So we want to search on Eastern Camp Mobile Booklet,
or
just try Mobile Booklet. Okay. Either way, if you'd like. And then the app will, of course, have all that and more, because the app will have the daily schedule, the forums, and so forth. So it'd be a good way for us all to keep tabs on Eastern Camp, but also enjoy the evening services and singing, which is such a highlight. Booklet. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, tomorrow I'll have that information again in the email. I'll try to get that out earlier if I can. Also, a week from today, I meant to mention this in our ministers' meeting, a week from today we'll have Alan and Vita Hansen with us. And they're on their way, kind of circuitous way back to Florida from camp. And Alan has consented to serve us next Sunday from God's Word. So Alan and Vita Hansen will be here. Please notice a couple of cards in the back. One is for Mike Smith's birthday, and the other is, if everyone remembers Sister Elena, hunched over sister, who gave out lots of candy to the kids, her daughter, Maria Draskin, we've been in contact with, and she would really appreciate our prayers. We asked Maria if she would like to come to church, and perhaps she will want to one of these days, we hope soon, but for now she would be very appreciative of prayers on her behalf. We'll have a song service following lunch. And is there anything else I may have missed? Okay. Well, please keep Brother Harry in prayer as he brings us God's Word today. And to prepare our hearts for that, let's sing both verses of hymn number 217, Let Us With Deep Meditation, 217.
Good morning. Let us bow to pray. We thank you, Father, for your presence here with us. We thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live, to love, to guide, to teach, to sacrifice himself because he loved us so. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to live within all believers to guide and instruct and direct as we live our lives here before we return to you. We ask that you would open your teaching to us as we would look at Eastern Camp's theme this year, that you would guide us through this week. And we pray for all those who are traveling to Eastern Camp. We pray for the sessions this week, the teachings, the forums, the services, the singing, that would all be an honor and a glory to you, and that those who attend are able to be refreshed, and those of us who are unable to attend would still be able to get a glimpse of what is being done there. We thank you, and we pray for the many people that are there, that are behind the scenes, doing the work, getting all things ready, sustain them through this very busy week. We thank you now, Lord Jesus, and pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. So this is the first day of Eastern Camp 2025, and that is the theme, as you see up there. And the last few, I'm not sure how many years, when if I've had the service on Eastern Camp Sunday, I try to have a service on the topic of Eastern Camp. It's interesting. You know, 30 years ago, we had over 100 people going to Eastern Camp from Wycliffe Lake. This year it's under 5, but so be it. So this year's theme is, what is truth? And it's a timely question for 2025. A red-green colorblind person cannot identify red or green objects. They will not be able to answer, is it true that this pen is red? To them, it just looks more like brown or gray. They don't have that ability to know that it's red. So what is truth? There are many voices in this day and age that ask that question. And today's culture goes on to say, you live your truth and I'll live my truth. That type of truth becomes just an opinion. If one person's truth is opposed to someone else's truth, they can't both be true. Last week, a week ago, Saturday, there was an online session for the teachers of Eastern Camp, and I was allowed to attend. And they presented key points for this week's lesson. I feel led to share some of the screens that they shared with us. Brothers Gary Jarp and Elder Brother Mark Igich were on the team that wrote this week's lessons. And they started with some Old Testament and New Testament concepts that are related to truth. They put them into what is called a Wordle chart. And maybe if you remember, we've had some Wordle charts. We did one for Johnny Mary Lou's retirement, or when they were moving away, and for Fritz and Joyce when they moved away. So, and they called them for here proximity clouds. So here's the proximity cloud for the Old Testament, and these are words or concepts that are related to truth. Faith, faithful, faithfulness, covenant, righteousness, wisdom, love, justice, God's word, obedience, testimony, and light. And these are the top, there are many more, but these were the top words and concepts related to truth. These are the New Testament top words or concepts related to truth. Faith, faithfulness again. Love, grace, God's word, righteousness, light, wisdom, covenant, goodness, testimony, obedience, and testimony. So as you search through the scriptures, these are the ideas that are related to truth. It was interesting that at the end of presenting these two slides, Brother Gary said, ChatGPT gave me these words. So he didn't do all the research himself. So anyway, what is truth? So this quotation that is the theme comes from John 18. I'll start reading in verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? The 5 days lessons are covering from almost soup to nuts of what encompasses truth. And looking at the different types of truth in the world and our response to the truth in Jesus Christ. So on Monday, the focus is to look at all the different types of truths that exist in the world. There's objective truth. It is 76.3 degrees in this room right now. That's objective truth. We can't argue that, okay? This building is 55 years old. We know that's the truth also because it was built in 1970. That's objective truth. There is subjective truth, and that's really a preference. So, you know, I'm a little concerned calling it a truth, but, you know, that's the example they gave. Chocolate is the best ice cream flavor. Well, that's my truth maybe, but it might not be your truth. And here it does matter. It doesn't matter because it's a preference, really. It's objective. The other example, they said, Eastern Camp is very enlightening. Well, probably for most people that go to Eastern Camp, it is. But maybe for some, it isn't. Who knows? Then there's social truth. A consensus has been built. We drive on the right side of the road in the United States. That's a consensus that we have decided as a society to do. It's common courtesy to shake hands when you meet somebody. Again, that's just an agreed social concept that we do here. Then there's moral truth. Murder is a crime. Okay, you know, I don't think very few people are going to disagree with that one. Stealing from a poor person is wrong. I thought it was interesting that the way they worded it was stealing from a poor person, implying that stealing from a rich person might not be wrong. We didn't go into that detail, but I thought that was an interesting way they had put that there. Then there's aesthetic truth, and it's based on beauty, harmony, balance, proportion, etc. The ancient Greek architects used the principle of the golden mean to build visually to build nice visual buildings. Look it up. I did. I had no idea. I don't remember ever hearing about the golden mean, but it's 1.16 whatever, and it's how things, when they're built, work good together, look pleasing to people. So, that was interesting. Then there's mathematical truth. 1 plus 1 equals 2. Okay? Nobody can really argue with that, though. When I started looking this up in more, it says some people do argue that. Besides that. And there's logical truth. No bachelors are married. Okay? That's very logical. All babies have a mother. Pretty logical until man decides to figure out how to create a baby in a test tube. Hopefully that never happens. And then there's what they called transcendental truth or spiritual truth. I am that I am. The Lord Yahweh said that. That's the truth. Ye are of the world. I am not of this world. Jesus said that in John 8:32. That is a spiritual truth. And these spiritual truths are more important than any other type of truth. What did Jesus say? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus did not say, I am a way or a truth or a life. There is no ambiguity here. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. This world, this culture, does not like or accept these definitive statements that Jesus made about himself. And therefore they think they are untrue, but in reality we know that they are true. On Tuesday, there is will be a discussion on truth versus anti-truth. In the Garden of Eden, we have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Both aspects were in that tree. We know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Anointed One. And the New Testament then also tells us about the Antichrist, the one who was opposed to Jesus. The Bible tells us that there is no truth in the devil, and he is a liar. And the devil uses the different truths discussed on the Monday class to blind the eyes of people so that they don't clearly see that Jesus, the Christ, is true truth. They want to use science or philosophy or something else to dissuade people from believing in Jesus Christ. So what does Satan use to blind people's eyes? Doubt and fear, discouragement, delusion, deception, distractions, diversions, defeat, delay, discord, and many others. And we have to be aware of that. That's the whole point of these lessons, is to make us all aware of these things. Wednesday, John 1 describes Jesus as the Word made flesh and being full of grace and truth. And in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, it says, For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of whom we have to do. Christ, the truth, has two edges. The one cuts open and exposes who we really are in the inside to his light. Isaiah said in 6:5, Woe is me, for I am undone. And we say the same thing when we realize the sin that we have within us. And as we read the light of the scriptures, we see that truly we are undone, just as Isaiah was. But the other edge of the sword is the healing edge called grace. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's you and me. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are we saved through faith." Isaiah says, "Our righteousness is as filthy rags." And Paul says in Philippians that we need the righteousness that only comes from Jesus Christ that can make us righteous. We cannot make ourselves righteous no matter how hard we may try. Everyone, for Thursday, everyone needs to be saved. But our spiritual walk dare not end there. In Philippians 3, starting in verse 7, Paul wrote, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, but if in any things ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." We need to pursue Jesus Christ. We need to pursue his example. We need to pursue self-denial. We need to pursue discipleship. We need to pursue peace. We need to pursue joy. We need to pursue forgiveness. We need to pursue unity and fellowship among the believers. We need to pursue loving one another the way he loved us. We need to pursue obedience and faith. We need to pursue humble service to one another. We need to pursue to be a witness. We need to pursue prayer and watchfulness. We need to pursue sanctification and, again, many others. That's not an enclosed list. It's not a full list. That's what we are called to do all of our lives as believers. And then on Friday, let me read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. Oops, 2 Peter, that's not right. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. But who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." That word happy is translated blessed in Matthew chapter 5. "And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The call to discipleship will result in persecution. We are called to be his witness, and we know that the Greek word for witness is the word martyr. In Romans 5, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We spoke this morning in Bible class how the tribulation worketh patience, and we need to be joyful through that experience. And we can be joyful because we know who we know, because we have hope in what we will have in eternal life, regardless of our tribulations. And in order to do all of this, we need to have the full armor of God. In Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Every piece of that armor is important, but especially verse 14, the belt of truth. It's the belt of truth that holds all of that armor together. And it says, you know, gird up your loins. You know, they walked around with robes. You can't do much fighting if you've got this long robe. They pulled up that robe and stuck it into the belt so that they were then agile and able to do the work that they were called to do. And that's part of the fight. That's why it's called an armor, because there is a spiritual fight going on. We need to know the truth. We need to follow the truth. And we need to be truthful. So this week's lessons at Eastern Camp gives a broad brush of what is truth. And Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? When the living truth, Jesus himself, was standing right in front of him. And may we not make the same mistake that Pilate made. When we have Jesus in front of us, let us recognize that he is the truth. In the beginning, I talked about somebody who is colorblind, not being able to distinguish between red and green. It is not our job to try to change that person's ability to see the right colors. We just need to be witnesses of the truth. And it's only Jesus Christ that can change that condition if they reject it right now. We pray that they would accept later. We know that in the scriptures, Jesus healed many by making the blind be able to see. And he can make a colorblind person see also. They might think truth is this, but through our witness, through our lives, may they see who is the truth, Jesus Christ, and then be able to have the scales removed from their eyes and see Jesus Christ as truly who he is, the Son of God. At the end of the prayer, we say Amen. The Hebrew word is Amen. It means so be it. It also means truly. What was just said is true. And may our lives be true. Let's sing from Apostolic Christian Hymnal number 184, Thou Lamb Once Slain, verses 1, 4, 6, and 7. 184, 1, 4, 6, and 7.
Thank you.
The final verse of that hymn reads as follows: "To thee must be ascribed my whole salvation. Thou hast done all, my Savior and my Lord. Thy merit only is my consolation. I take unmerited thy great reward. This truth eternal shall not fail." I guess that says fall, sorry. "The Lamb once slain shall ever be my all in all." What a timely topic we have for camp this week. So thankful that we can also, even though we're not traveling to Pennsylvania, we can also partake in that. The first slide that was on is the banner for the week. And the artist that creates the banner sometime during the week has an opportunity to go on stage and tell everyone what the thought process was in putting the banner together, as we know. And I don't know about you, but those lines that were running through the word truth, I don't know what you thought of that. To me, it sort of looked like it was not quite in focus, possibly. Those lines sort of made a sense of not quite in focus. Perhaps that's what the artist had in mind. Probably not. But to me, that sort of spoke to me in terms of truth in today's culture is not at all in focus unless you're a son of the living God. You know, then you know truth. And you know that that truth is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And you know that that truth will set us free. So those of us who have that truth clearly in focus, absolutely crystal clearly in focus, have been so blessed and privileged to be able to know truth. You can put your head on the pillow at night and just feel secure knowing the truth because you know the Savior. And here's what Jesus said about that. Really, now we'll finish with this. In John 16, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter or Helper will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." I'm going to skip down to 13 now. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Amazing. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter that dwells within us is truth. And when he brings to our mind scriptures, or he gives us words to speak, or we feel the comfort and assurance of God is near through the working of him, the Holy Spirit, those are words that are imparted unto the Holy Spirit by Jehovah God, by God himself on high. And this all happened because Jesus was willing to, first of all, leave the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, coming to this cruel world, cold, dark world, but then dying for us here in this world. And then, what? Rising again, departing this world, ascending unto the Father. And he said, "Because I leave, I'm going to give you the truth." And we have the truth. And we are set free by that truth. Let's all pray together. And could we rise? Thou art Almighty God, the truth. Thou art the anchor of our lives. We are grounded upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus, as we can read in Scripture. Heavenly Father, are the foundation of our entire faith is built upon that truth and the knowing of that truth. And Lord, while we talked in Bible class about wavering, and as James wrote about that, and we even confess that we all waver from time to time, let us never, ever waver from the knowledge of truth, that thou art truth, the way and the life, Lord Jesus. And you've come into this world to impart that truth so that we could be set free from self and Satan, and free from eternal damnation and death. But we can arise as you did, and we someday will literally be resurrected to be with you in heaven above forever and ever. And we are very comforted by that, Lord, and we are thankful for that. Thankful for the messages that went forth in this day. Thankful for the power of your presence among us. Thankful for the fellowship that we can share, the songs that we've been able to sing, and as a prayer to ascend unto thy throne above. Lord, now that we would break for some fellowship, we just pray that similarly and equally and powerfully you will be amongst us at the table. And Lord, we pray a blessing upon the food now, that it would strengthen our bodies. And we are so thankful because we are so privileged to be able to serve a risen God and have been given the purpose of doing so. So be with us then in this coming week, that the days of the week that you would give us, and may we in all things through thought and word indeed honor and glorify the risen Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.